The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for being with me. Thank you so much for letting me be with you. I don't know what it is you're doing at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is you are doing, I'm happy that you're doing that with me. I'm joined in the studio this morning. Let me start off by saying my show is being sponsored today by Property Masters Bahamas. They're licensed and responsible independent contractors, and their services include complete residential and commercial projects, renovations and repair, rough and finished carpentry. You can call them at 422-6582 or 425-5628. Also, they're running a summer special that you may want to check out, right? For every new construction or house, they are going to give you, and this is interesting, a free fridge, stove, and microwave, right? So I have this thing that I say that the easiest way to give a man a case of the McCobi is to leave him and take with you when you leave the fridge, the stove, and the microwave, right? So this seems like a McCobi recovery package. That's what I'm going to call it from now on. It is Property Masters McCobi Recovery Pocket. See, because a man could survive in a house without a bed. We could sleep on the floor, and typically we like sleeping in the sofa anyhow, right? So if you took that, it wouldn't matter. No one watches TV anymore. We all have our cell phones. But if you take a man's microwave and his fridge, how is he going to buy fast food, store it in the fridge, and warm it up in the morning? Now he got to call a woman. You see where I'm going with this? So the McCobi recovery package is it's being offered over there at Property Masters Bahamas. Give them a call for all your construction needs. 422-6582, 425-5628. I'm joined in the studio this morning by Captain Glenn Bain. You know him, he's the former port controller. He is a licensed boat captain. He is someone that has worked along with the BMA and all sorts of other fancy things over the course of his life. And we're talking, the reason I brought him in this morning is because I want to talk about the concept of home porting. We are almost minutes away now from the home porting experience and it beginning. As you can see, they don't retire some of these people. But now Tommy Turnquest, the chairman of the Bahamas Air Authority, or whatever they're called, is saying that, you know, Bahamians ought to avoid weekend travel. That's what we should do. We should just not want to travel on the weekend so that we don't interfere with home boarding. And so I thought I would bring Captain Bain in and kind of talk about some of the benefits that home boarding will provide for us, but some of the problems that home boarding can create, and whether or not we are considering all things as we move towards home boarding. Because it's not something that's new. The Bahamas has had cruise ship passengers for as long as I've had memory, of course. And it's kind of the business that we've been in, but I don't remember us ever doing it this way. Also, I know that we are now going to be incorporating islands like Eleuthera. I think there was a small problem somewhere down there and a couple other islands. But the difficulty for me is I know that a lot of those islands do not have adequate harbor spaces. And what are the challenges with that, et cetera? How do we go about that? Is it now time to look at the development of actual sustainable harbors in and around these other islands? So Glenn Bain, Captain Glenn Bain, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning to you, Levon.
Always good
good to be here with you. I'm doing well, thanks.
It's good to see you. That home porting is something that's about to take off. What do you feel about it?
Well, it's taken off, actually.
Okay.
The Adventure to Sea has done a trip already. I think they're in the second trip.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the Serenity coming around next month.
Okay.
To join them, which means we'll have 2 full days of home porting activities at Nassau Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game changer. As you mentioned already, the airports are congested because, you know, it's never happened before here where we're doing home porting of a cruise ship.
Right.
The Adventures of the Sea, for example, is capacity 3,800 passengers alone.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they got sometimes crew changes.
Mm-hmm.
They said that they start off at 50%, which is somewhere just under 2,000
right, people. About 1,800 people.
And all of them coming through the airport, all our luggage coming through the airport. The food that is required to be on board that ship to feed them those 8 meals a day for a week is constantly coming in. And every time they do home training, they got to replenish all their food. They got to get all their linens clean and all the rest of it. So what they do in Fort Lauderdale and Miami and Tampa and those other big ports, they have what you call terminals.
Mm-hmm.
They have terminals that are designed so that the passengers, when they're boarding, through those terminals, they're screened from a security perspective.
Mm-hmm.
They're screened from perspective of documentation as far as their passports and ticketing and all the rest of that. And they have a route to get them to the ship.
Mm-hmm.
But the luggage doesn't go on with them. It's like you're going to the airport and you're going to join the ship, the airplane. You're going to send your luggage through the back. It goes onto the plane. You don't see it until time
until you land
it
right.
On the other end.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with the cruise ship, it's the same thing. The luggage goes one way. The passenger goes the other way. The luggage is actually, they meet their luggage in the cabins or just outside the cabins.
Okay.
So you need to have arrangement. The thing about this whole setup is, you know, these cruise ships, they're carrying hundreds of Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I think 80% to 90% of their passengers are Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Americans are targeted people when you talk about looking at it from what
security?
You call it, an ISPS perspective,
mm-hmm.
International Ship and Port Facility Security. Because you have terrorists, you have drug dealers, you have stowaway personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And the terrorist aspect of it calls for a lot of new things to happen that didn't happen with a ship visit. Because those luggage, you can imagine getting a case of, let's say, cream on board a ship. But instead of cream, they pack those cans with explosives.
With C4, right.
Then you're now dealing with it. So the screening is extremely important. Now, we don't have a terminal in Nassau at this very moment.
Okay.
As you know, the port is undergoing development.
Right.
So they have makeshift arrangements, I'm sure. But, you know, again, you don't want anything to trickle through from a security perspective and get to that ship.
Mm.
Because if something goes wrong, there's going to be a situation where we're going to have a fine-tooth comb come to comb the systems that we use to actually get not only the passengers on board and making sure they're screened, but all of the perishables, all the food, which you call ship stores.
Mm-hmm.
The ship stores have to be screened a certain way, and the luggage have to be screened a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And in the U.S., they usually have a lot of trained dogs. We have trained dogs here with the police force. I don't know to what extent. I have not seen the operation.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is these are things that
have
sure
to be considered.
We are aware, and we have this makes it a game changer.
Because one of the things that I had the wonderful opportunity to be a part of the crew that was there for the inaugural couple of voyages, or because inaugural is the first one. So the introductory period of
resort world vessel
in Bimini.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah, I was there when they was docking at the government dock.
Right.
Right. And I remember these ISPS regulations. Can I tell you, the population of Bimini completely hated it. It was because they have become so accustomed to being able to use their government docking facility.
That's correct.
That when we would strap down that dock under ISPS operations and regulations, they couldn't understand it. And we ended up on several occasions in my capacity then as law enforcement where we kind of had to bullnose the general public. And it was because they didn't understand that, yes, this is the government dock when this ship isn't here or when the ship isn't en route. The minute the ship gets a certain set of miles away from Bimini, this dock now becomes subjected to ISPS regulations. There has to be a sweep. There has to be a... And so now there cannot be regular communal traffic, right?
That's correct.
The people on the island didn't get that. And now I see that we're going to be taking these vessels into places like Eleuthera. I don't remember the entire route that they plan to take, but I don't know that any of those places have ISPS certified docking facilities. And then it makes me wonder, are we going to be ferrying people into the islands? And then what are the security challenges those kind of facilitation, like, what does it create? Like, do we have a regulated set of ferries that will be taking people to the island? I'm not exactly sure how that happens.
Well, actually, with the situation as it is on those islands, they would have to use the tenders from the ship.
Okay.
Because, first of all, they need tenders size enough, and they need to secure those tenders on the inside, right? You can't... We've used local tenders in Freeport for the big red boats back in the day, like 20-something years ago. But they were specially designed, and they came in and they did the tendering. But for places like Harbour Island, for example, you know, they would need sizable, something like the ship's lifeboats. They can use them as tenders because they have to anchor out. Obviously, the ship
can't get in. Right.
So they would tender them in. The thing about ISPS is it's only applicable to the point of where the people will land at. I don't know if they're coming all the way into the government dock or they're going to use Valentine's or whatever they're going to use. And I'm speaking in terms of Harbour Island.
Right, Eleuthera, yeah.
But wherever that tender lands is not a concern so much as when those people are returning to get on that tender. Because ISPS is to protect that ship.
Right.
So anything can come through that tender and get on the ship. So they have to have a screening process for the backfeed coming onto the tender to get to the ship. And only at that point, so you don't have to have a whole dock covered with ISPS.
Okay.
You just need to have that screening point wherever those people are going to go onto the tender. So you can just, I mean, in Harbour Island, it's a small government dock. You can actually have that dock area cordon off ISPS like they did at Bimini, right? Which will be ideal. And it could be a temporary measure, but of course, the authorities would have to find...
Except, Cap, the difference. If I'm not mistaken, the difference I think between Bimini and Eleuthera was one. I don't think Resort World's vessel was as big. I think the maximum carry for that vessel was like 420, right? You're talking about a ship now that carries 3,000. I imagine the draw will be bigger. The government dock. Then the reason they couldn't dock at the hotel was because they couldn't get to the hotel. So that's why they opted to dock at the government dock.
They had to come around. Yes.
So what you're talking about now is the possibility of tendering people to the vessel. I think that creates a massive security challenge. It's because in Bimini, when I was there, those people walked through the craft market, which is where we turned into an internal screening, metal detector screening, human screening area, and in a room as sterile passengers, and from that room into the ship. There was no... When you do the search of somebody and then release them to a tender, I mean, there is... I don't know if the security capability is in any way compromised.
Well, you're talking about a visiting situation. Currently, at Bimini, they come into the dock, and they tended off. There's a long the dock is just a strip now.
Okay.
Right. So they come along that I don't want to call it a catwalk, but it's like a catwalk, but it is part of the dock. And once they come beyond that fenced area that separates the dock from the actual Resort World facility, they're no longer ISPS.
Okay.
So there's no... the screening process that you're talking about happens out on the dock near the ship.
Right.
Yeah? But the ship is actually there. But when you have... When they had the tendering situation, because after they moved from the government dock, they actually had a tendering situation going all the way up. But at the same time, one of the tenders, I think, went to the government dock and the other one went all the way up to Resort World.
Okay.
And they had the Fisherman Village, or what? Because I wrote all the security plans and assessments.
Okay.
I did all the ISPS. I still do it today, right? And so there is a degree of screening that goes on and is required to go on. But when you're talking about a ship visiting, that takes on, that's like a ship visiting Prince George Wharf or Freeport Harbor, a cruise ship. The extent of the backflow is greater on the ship than it is at the port facility.
Mm. Okay.
So when they get back to that ship off the tender, there's another set of screening they got to go through.
Mm. Okay.
To get inside the ship.
Okay. Right. So you're not at all concerned about security risk. What about the possibility? Can we now say that we are effectively doing home porting if the government isn't prepared to take what I estimate to be maybe $200 million or $300 million in the creation of new porting facilities in these islands?
Well, the thing is, it is what it is at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't for the pandemic, they wouldn't even be considering these islands.
But how long can home porting survive without... Because, one of the benefits the Bahamas has had over its time in the cruise industry is that, unlike many of our Caribbean counterparts, ships could actually pull into Nassau Harbor. They could also do the same thing in Grand Bahama. Our other Caribbean counterparts cannot all fit. If home porting is what we're now moving toward, how long do you imagine we will be able to survive in this industry, less than except we, have, as a government, as a country, make the decision that home porting is something that is going to be the catalyst upon which we redeem or revamp our tourism product. And as such, we as a government, as a country, have to make the decision now that we are going to build adequate docking facilities on every island that we consider islands in the chain, or on every island that we will map out as the cruise route for this home porting exercise.
Well, home porting happens only in Nassau.
Okay.
Home porting is not going to happen on any other island.
Okay.
So when you talk about the home porting part of it, that's the part where all of the passengers, their luggage, all of the supplies, as far as ship stores, victuals, get on board the ship.
Mm-hmm.
That happens only in Nassau.
Okay.
And that they take all that on for 1 week. And when they go to the family islands, they're not home porting anymore. They're only visiting these islands.
Okay.
Right? And the degree to which they visit calls for far less detailed taking care of security and safety as compared to home porting.
Mm-hmm.
So the home porting phase, we need to build.
Okay.
We never did it before.
Sure.
We're doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
We would have to build on it. And with a little luck, because I do have extreme concern for security.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I haven't wished that somebody probably would have invited me to have a look,
mm-hmm.
With the experience I would have.
Mm-hmm.
But I would assume, knowing some of the people that are involved, that they are taking care of making sure that that ISPS component, while being a makeshift arrangement,
mm-hmm.
is adequate. And there's no backlash from repercussions if there is an incident on board that ship or the other ship that's coming in the Serenity. Because if there's any problem stemming outside of security,
mm-hmm.
What's going to happen is, of course, you're going to have Coast Guard and whoever else coming down, because they are U.S. passengers.
Right.
They're going to come down. They're going to take a fine-tooth comb, and they're going to go through our processes, procedures for actually home porting that ship,
mm-hmm.
as far as what do we do pertaining to the ship stores? When ship stores are actually coming to the port, first of all,
mm-hmm.
the screening at the port and the screening on board the ship. Now, these ships were in the game for a while.
Okay.
So they know exactly what they have to do with home porting. They've been home porting for decades.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's new to us, because we were not... Freeport did a bit of it with the Sea Escape.
Okay.
Because, you know, people join the Sea Escape from Freeport,
right.
and from other places. And they have a terminal built for that.
Okay.
Right? But that's a small ship compared to these big cruise ships. But again, they had to comply with all the ISPS requirements,
mm-hmm.
in order to complete that service. So we have to comply with all the ISPS procedures. Although, like I say, we have to use makeshift arrangements. We don't have a terminal built.
No.
For this purpose.
There's nothing on the dock
now.
So
they got a big shed.
Right.
Right? That in case it rains or you're covered, your operations can continue mm-hmm. to go on. And of course, you need that.
Right.
So it's only a matter of whether they're using the police dogs for sniffing and all the rest of that good stuff, whether the ship stores have a totally different route from the passengers and the luggage.
Mm-hmm.
And all that procedure should be in an ISPS plan,
mm-hmm.
based on an ISPS assessment.
Mm-hmm.
That, well, I know for sure Prince George Wharf, as it was an ISPS certified facility.
Right.
But there have to be some changes, because they were not doing home porting.
Mm-hmm.
So there must
be
some additional components in the plan now to address ISPS for home porting.
Hmm.
And that's the kind of thing I'm discussing.
How costly do, how costly is it? Like, in order for us, in order for us to get to the point where we are effective and proficient in our ability to be able to, at ISPS levels, secure our docking facility for home boarding, what exactly do you imagine the end like?
Well, again, we can do up to 7 ships a week.
Okay.
1 ship a day. Right now, we only got 2 ships that, okay, that we know, I mean, that has been expressed as coming here, mm-hmm, to do home boarding. One doing it already, and the other one coming in early July.
Mm-hmm.
So as it stands now, it's only 2 days of the week.
Okay.
So we can take another 5 ships with the arrangement we have.
Mm.
Now, are we going to try and arrange for home boarding for 20 ships? Mm. I don't think we want to try and replicate what Miami or Fort Lauderdale and Port Everglades is doing. Because quite technically, those ports are just waiting for the right time for those ships. The minute that ship can go to Miami or Port Everglades,
they're going
to
be out of here.
They're going to be out of here. Mm. Of course.
You don't think that there's a possibility that they will build a niche market? Like for a long time, tourists that came to the Bahamas had only the experience of seeing Nassau and Freeport via ship. And the ones with a lot of money could actually maybe do a day away to Exuma, right? But maybe with this idea or this concept of home boarding, 7 days or thereabout sailing through the Bahamas, they may build a niche market. You don't think that possibility exists?
Not only a niche market. The reality is this. We have this pandemic,
mm-hmm,
causing these ships to do what they do because they can no longer go in U.S. ports and do what they were doing.
Okay.
Yeah? This pandemic has now forced some of these ships to try and find routes.
Mm-hmm.
And they want short routes. Right? Routes, and this is the reason why the family islands are being considered. But why should the cruise ships be the ones to lead this? Why haven't the government of the Bahamas, from way back in the 70s, when Carnival started to really grow their ships and, mm-hmm, get bigger ships, and RCCL came along and NCL came along and all of them, why wouldn't our government look at the Bahamas like cruise ships look at the Eastern Caribbean? Our island is the most of those islands, yeah, in the Eastern Caribbean. Right. Each one of them can facilitate a cruise ship. You know why? Because each one of them wants to get a part of that pie.
Right.
Now, why can't our family islands get a part of the same pie?
That's exactly what
why
I was saying.
Why can't the government lead that?
And so that is exactly the point that I was getting to at the beginning. Whether or not we are going to half-step or half-bake this concept of home boarding. I understand now that home boarding only speaks to the place that the ship takes on its passengers. But if we built the adequate docking facilities on enough of these family islands, we may be able to create our own inter-island, inter-Bahamian island cruise industry that may even be able to be something that Bahamian cruise liners decide that they want to become a part of one day. The difficulty for me is I don't imagine most of these islands have, you know, low traffic, low vehicle. Like, so I don't see tourists being able to get on and off of a ship easily and seamlessly, except we actually put them in a porting facility, right? But that takes an investment. Do you think that investment is one that is wise to make?
I think that investment is being made,
mm-hmm,
right now with using Nassau Harbor as a home port. Now, like I say, there's no way the Port of Miami and Port Everglades,
mm-hmm,
and the Port of Tampa and Cape Canaveral,
mm-hmm,
there's no way on earth that these leading port facilities in the world for cruise ships are going to just throw up their hands and say, the hell with it, let the Bahamas do it, right? Mm-hmm. Because they have too much to lose.
Mm-hmm.
The cruise ships have too much to lose. Because every time they leave Florida and come to the Bahamas to home port, they're adding costs to that visitor. Now that person have to take an extra flight.
Mm-hmm.
Their food have to take an extra boat ride.
Mm-hmm.
And all the rest of it that comes along with home porting away
from home.
From Florida, from right. The U.S.,
right.
Because things are so much cheaper in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to extend that cost. So that will be the easiest route. And they have the terminals already. Are we going to build a terminal at Prince George Wharf that could replicate one of those terminals in Miami or Port Everglades? No. It's going to be too big.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if we have the room to do that.
Mm.
Right? And then the amount of vehicles pulling up with the passengers. It's just going to be a nuisance if we want to do it on that scale.
Okay.
Because that's the scale these cruise ships are going to need at the end of the day. They want to get back to normal.
Mm.
This here is just a makeshift arrangement.
One of the things that created great concern for me was reading the article from Tommy Drinkwest, and his whole thing is, listen, our facility just doesn't have what it takes to be able to deal with our Bahamian backlog, as well as the influx from the 3,000 tourists that are going to, flood through here every week, right? And I instantly got to thinking, well, Nassau has one of the largest airports in the Caribbean I've seen, right? If we can't get it done, then who can, right? And so I don't know. I mean, do we have the human capital? Do you imagine we have the facilities to be able to on a serious, because if we're going to do home porting, like, I don't like the idea of half-baking things. Like, if we're going to do home porting, I say, let's get a 7-ship rotation in here, like you've suggested, and let's do it entirely. Not just do enough of it so that we can limp the economy along at $50 million. Like, that is not enough for me. Let us ramp it up and do $350 million or $400 million or whatever it is that we're able to get out of this. Let's go for $1 billion. But you have to consider, if my airport is teeming with people, I can't get enough security on the ground to be able to manage these people. I don't have enough space because my airport facility just isn't sufficient. Then is this something we're even ready for?
Yeah, I think we've been caught off guard. We've been caught off guard to the extent that I don't think the regular bohemian worker at the airport realized the magnitude of what this thing is going to bring.
Mm-hmm.
We realize it now,
mm-hmm.
right? But of course, like everything else, we will add on. The airport itself can handle the throughput.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the airport can handle it.
Okay.
It's only a matter of us getting the logistics to go along with the airport, handling that.
Okay.
To ensure that when these people are coming in, you're going to have more airlift. I think Mr. Turnquist is speaking from a perspective of Bahamas Air as opposed to the airport,
mm-hmm.
right? Bahamas Air is really overwhelmed right now.
Mm.
And that is because a lot of the other carriers hadn't caught on to this. The airlift is going to increase. As the demand increases, the airlift is going to increase, and Bahamas Air is going to level off, just like everything else.
All right. We're going to a break. I got Captain Glenn Bean here with me. We're talking about home porting, the importance, the benefits, and some of the detractions that are going to happen as a result of home porting. We'll talk more about it on the next side of the break. Don't go anywhere. I'm leaving Mel. I'm Unleashed on your radio. We'll be back right after this. Looking to build your dream home? Property Masters Bahamas got you covered. Your dream home or business are in good hands with our licensed and responsible contractors. We provide residential, commercial projects, renovations, repairs, rough and finished carpentry, walls, driveway, roof construction, and more. Don't miss our summer special. With every new construction or house, we will include a free fridge, stove, and microwave. So call Property Masters Bahamas today at 422-6582 or 425-5628. Call now.
Crystal Cruises is setting sail for the Bahamas once again. Crystal will follow the strictest safety protocols as guests travel to Exuma, San Salvador, Long Island, and more. With a commitment to keep communities and protect the environment, Crystal's decision to homeport in the Bahamas will boost tourism and support the local economy. Learn more at crystalcruises.com.
Looking to build your dream home? Property Masters Bahamas got you covered. Your dream home or business are in good hands with our licensed and responsible contractors. We provide residential, commercial projects, renovations, repairs, rough and finished carpentry, walls, driveway, roof construction, and more. Don't miss our summer special. With every new construction or house, we will include a free fridge, stove, and microwave. So call Property Masters Bahamas today at 422-6582 or 425-5628. Call now.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back. We're here. I'm Levin Miller. I'm with Captain Glenn Bean. As you can hear, we are trying to dissect this off air as well. Because, you get this brain in the room with you and you have somebody that has done it so long and has done so much of it to try to make sure that you understand it correctly. So Captain Glenn Bean, we talked on the break about the difficulty that may be created in the instance, even with tendering, where we just can't get the natives to make space, or where we can't get the natives to adhere to all of the regulations. Many of those people that don't live inside the city, they own their whole islands. Like, island people ain't too keen on you telling them where they could go, where they can't go, when they could use the dock, when they can't. They're just not into that. As a matter of fact, the Minister of Tourism himself ran into a problem with one of the families. He said, don't bring it here. I mean, what do we do in an instance like that?
Well, again, as you know, the Biminis didn't want it there.
Mm-hmm.
We made it happen. You have the thing is, you have to do whatever you need to do to cause the people on the islands to understand, look, this is your island. You're part of the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. We need investments. This is an investment. Let's do this hand in hand. And I think if you talk to those people well enough in advance, right, mm-hmm. and you start to galvanize some of the leaders in those communities and approach them respectfully,
mm-hmm.
I think it'll be a different outlook from the islanders, mm-hmm. because they just don't want you to come and railroad their operation.
Correct.
Which we should be able to understand,
mm-hmm.
right? But we know that these cruise ships are saying that they want to visit the family islands.
Mm-hmm.
So what is being done in the meantime to prepare? Because if you look at those keys that those cruise ships own, right? You get Half Moon Key, you got mm-hmm. Princess Key, you got Stirrup Key, Great Stirrup, and then you have Disney, where the ship actually goes in. That's the only one where the ship actually goes in. There's also Coco Key now, where the RCCL ship actually goes into a dock. They built a dock.
Okay.
Right? But those keys, prior to having those docks, they had to do tendering. Mm-hmm. The tendering operation, sometimes they had up to 6 tenders that are specially designed offshore to go out to the cruise ship, and they would rig the cruise ship in a way that they would receive these tenders.
Okay.
The tenders have Bahamian captain. The tenders have Bahamian crew. The tenders have to be fueled locally. So you now generating a lot of jobs. You're generating a lot of income
mm-hmm.
for that island. And the spin-off effect from the tourists coming ashore, I mean, it's unmeasurable.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I remember I was on must have been Anguilla, one of those countries,
mm-hmm.
island countries in the Eastern Caribbean. And they had a cruise ship come once per week.
Mm-hmm.
And they had carnival every time the ship comes.
Wow.
Yeah, they had people on stilts, and it was a big, because they were so happy to have the ship come there.
Mm-hmm.
And only once a week, right? But that generated their economy.
Right, right. They understood that they needed to get maximum draw from this.
They harnessed it. Mm-hmm. But like I say, on the family islands, we could have behemoths leaving Nassau and going back to the islands.
Mm.
Just to get those jobs, because they're going to need it. Look how much people go to Bimini now to work at Resort World and assist with all these people the ship is bringing in at Resort World.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of people coming from Nassau and Freeport going there just for those jobs. The same thing will happen if this type thing happens on those family islands.
Mm. Let me give you the numbers. 325-4259. You can give me a call on that. Captain Glenn Bain is my guest. You can text me on 422-4796. I'm going to say the numbers again. You can call me, 325-4259, or you can text me at 422-4796. Let's take this first call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there? Not there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And to your guest, are there any plans? I hear the conversation about the ships visiting the island and their experience, and even some of the complaints that many of the cruise ship passengers would have had in the past. Are there any plans after this $290 million investment to actually make entertainment, authentic Bahamian experiences available for the folks that are coming in after all that money would have been invested?
I don't know. I mean, neither myself or Captain Bain would know that. We're not a part of the planning, but I brought him here because he is somebody that has done for the BMA, and he knows what exactly would be needed on a security level and on an operation level. So we can't really speak to the entertainment of it, but that would be a good question to have answered.
All right. Thanks, man.
No problem. 325-4259. You can give me a call. You can text me at 422-4796. Somebody here says, homeporting will be in Bimini and Nassau for Crystal Cruise. Freeport is a better place, though, for homeporting because the container port for the cruise ship's weekly supplies. Cruise ships dock at Ocean Key. I don't know. Would homeboarding work in Grand Bahama? I think that is... First of all, I don't like the way the facility looks. Like, let me tell you, every time I... The only thing that they should use that dock for is cargo. Like, it just doesn't look like somewhere I want to cruise into, right?
Not eye-pleasing.
Right.
Not eye-pleasing at all.
Yeah, so that in itself is a, like, do you want to sail into somewhere, right? You think about paradise. You save your money all your life, say, man, I'm going to go to paradise. And as you sail towards paradise, you see containers stacked 70 feet in there, and that's basically all you see for the first 20 minutes of your trip into paradise. It's the last thing you see on your trip out of paradise. It's not postcard worthy, right?
Yeah. The bigger part of Grand Bahama being used as a home port,
mm-hmm.
It worked for the celebrity, the ship that did the Freeport West Palm Beach,
mm-hmm.
or Freeport Port Everglades.
Mm-hmm.
It worked for that, but for a cruise ship to go in home port there, the turnaround in Freeport Harbor is a high cost.
Okay.
Even to local Bahamian vessels. You talk to the mail.
Is that associated with the port authority?
It's associated with the... It's the same thing with the airport.
Right.
The fees, because the government doesn't own it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Government subsidizes to a great extent cruise ship visits to Nassau Harbor.
Okay.
The cost that they would pay if that was a private... Well, it's going to be a private port soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be owned by Global Port Holdings. I'm not sure if the fees are going up, I imagine. That would be one of the reasons why Freeport Harbor probably was not... considered ahead of the other Nassau and Bimini. And Bimini, as you know, already have something in place where they were actually boarding ships and they were not doing home porting.
Mm-hmm.
They still did the home porting in the U.S.
Right.
But to put in the home porting factor now, especially that the ship wouldn't be going to the U.S., is a kind of quick fix.
Mm. Somebody here says, let's take this call. Good morning, caller, you're on. Caller, there?
Hello, yes.
Hey, how
Hello.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was getting back to that home port and free port, and what would it take for the government either to get back our harbor and free port, or the government to have its own harbor in Grand Bahama altogether? What will it take?
Well,
I think that will be the answer for home port in the Bahamas.
Well, one of the things I think is actually going to be paramount in the government having anything in Grand Bahama is doing what Mr. Ingram suggested, which is buying out the Port Authority. I think, the Port Authority has done what it's done for 60 years, and I think their time has just come. In order for the government of the Bahamas to be able to enjoy the infrastructure already built by the Port Authority and be able to invest itself in Grand Bahama in a real way where the government kind of pulls the trajectory along, it's going to have to own the place, and they don't. Everything they do, they need consensus with the Port Authority, and as long as that exists, I don't know that there will be a realization of that cap. What do you think?
I mean, again, I know it was considered.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite remember the area. I think it's the area where they have Fish Fry, Smith's Point, somewhere. Well, it's just outside of the Freeport border.
Mm-hmm.
The government was considering putting actual port there.
What is it, Sweeting's Key?
No. This is where's this area? I don't remember, but it's at the, if you know, Freeport Coral Road,
right,
goes all the way where it goes, but you turn and then there's a lot of vendors and
mm-hmm.
I forget, it's not Smith's Point. Smith's Point is where Fish Fry is.
Yeah, Smith's Point is by Tino Beach.
Yeah, and this is the other one.
Okay.
So I understand. I think I was when I was working at the port department, it was being considered that the government would arrange and install a port for cargo ships to come. Not cruise ships, but for cargo ships.
Okay.
Cruise ships, well, as you know, the Carnival is intending to put a port just mid-east, just beyond that area where UB is,
mm-hmm.
where that structure is. And RCCL wants to use the Lucaya, the Harbor Lucaya, Port Lucaya,
mm-hmm.
To put there for their ships to come in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know to what extent. I haven't seen the plans. I don't know what it's going to look like. But, of course, this is what is intended.
What do you think is causing the massive objection from people like Exumians, even from some people, for some Eleutherians, with regards to these cruise ships talking in their islands? A lot of them talk about space. A lot of them talk about how the culture has to change in order to accommodate cruise ships. I mean, to me, that argument, and I say it respectfully, it sounds frivolous. I mean, things die so things can live all the time. It's called the circle of life. But, I mean, do you think those family islanders fare something that is unnecessary to fare?
They fare what a lot of Bahamians fare, change.
Mm.
They fare change. They're so used to having it the way
but
it is.
But for the good, though. I mean, money will come, people will come, exposure will come,
but
opportunities will come.
But then everything changes as a result.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have their tranquility and peaceful and island life. And they know that a lot of people are going to come in from Nassau and Freeport.
Mm.
Because, you know, they just wouldn't have enough
the workforce.
People there.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have. So I think they probably just don't want to change. But be in the Bahamas. Come on, man. Let's just we all the Bahamas.
Yeah, yeah.
And if change is better, if I mean, what, we're going to keep congregating, congesting Nassau and not try and find a way to get some people out of Nassau back to the family islands? Because that's where all the Nassauvians came from, the family islands, eh?
Yeah. Someone here says, you missed the military. I'm going to call this the military show. I'm not even talking about the military today. I'm talking about ISPS. Captain Glenn Bean is here in his capacity as a former port controller and member of the... were you a member of the BMA? Because I think I've said that more than once.
I was a senior nautical inspector. The first Bahamian senior nautical inspector for the BMA.
Right, so he's not even here in his capacity as a former Defense Force officer. But we are talking about ISPS regulations. The reason I thought it was necessary to do so was because I've witnessed, right, the catastrophe ISPS turned out to be in Bimini. Like, we did a wonderful job. Administrator Monroe was down there at the time.
Yeah.
And he was doing a wonderful job because he said, listen to me, boys, I don't know nothing about ISPS. I put this in your hand. Make it work. And that we did. And even when we had run-ins with the population down there, you know, there's a reason why the man in boots wear the boots, right?
Population respect the boots.
Yeah, there's a reason why the man in boots wear the boots, right? And so we went down there and the population, eventually they got it, right? Now they don't have that to deal with. The government dock is now open to them again, and Resort World boards a ship down at the hotel now. So it's out of their way, which is perfect, right? And it's now a synergist relationship again. But I'm telling you, you move ISPS standards into people docking facilities and you're going to have problems out of the population because they're just... They're not used to, I park my golf cart here every day and go in my boat. I come back, I can't get my golf cart. And this is what it turns into, you know. The Defense Force Marines say, the Marine didn't say that. ISPS say, when I lock this gate, it don't open for anybody that's not a sterile person. You are not a sterile person. As such, this golf cart is now in my custody until the ship leaves. I don't know how you can get home, walk. You know, they don't pay me to give advice. They pay me to lock this gate, and that's what I do it. And so people have to understand that, text writer, and that's why I brought Captain B in here. I do love the Defense Force. Levin, why do you talk so fast? I don't, you have to blame my daddy. I know. Levin, this porting is unsustainable because the ship is half full. The ship got to, let me see if I can read this. Levin, this porting is unsustainable because the ship is half full. The ship got to buy our expensive diesel and expensive food. Plus, the people have to fly here, pay head tax. Do you know if the government is giving the ship tax concessions? I don't know. Cap, do you know?
Well, I don't think they're going to get concessions. They're going to get what they got as a visitor. Because if a ship is visiting, when that ship comes to visit, there's an arrangement with the government depending on how much hours, if they're going to stay overnight, if they're not going to stay overnight. And I mean, this has been negotiated and changed over the period of years.
Mm-hmm.
But there is some arrangement as a visiting ship, but now as a home porting ship, because they're actually flying in through the airport as individuals. They're not coming in on a ship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everything that's applicable to an individual coming in, that's going to be revved up in their ticket already. So
somebody's saying the location you were talking about is Pindus Point.
Pindus Point, that's it. Yeah. That's it. That's where the government was thinking about building a port.
Text right here says, such an enlightening show today. Hats off to my schoolmate and dear friend, Glenn Bean, for his wealth of knowledge and experience in the subject area. God bless you, sir. That's coming in from Greg Mortimer. If you want to be a part of the conversation, Glenn Bean is here. We're talking about home porting, the possibilities, and you know, some of the detracting factors from the goodness that home porting will bring. You know, nothing can be all sugar, sure, right? But nothing is also all bad all the time. So I think if we can figure out some sort of a plan, like that's what it's going to take, a plan.
We need to get ahead too, yeah.
Yeah.
A plan where we can get ahead and make preparations for what is possible and what can be. And we got to entice cruise ships
mm-hmm.
to want to use the family islands.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't leave it up to them to decide. Well, that's why they have their private keys, and they have more private keys than we have family islands where they go.
What about law enforcement presence on the island with regards to the ramp up in population? Do you think that is something, I know it doesn't come under ISPS, but mm-hmm. do you think that is something that we have got to give more consideration to? Because I'm thinking, if you're talking about 2,000 people getting off. You know, the people that do policing on family islands, they don't do the policing as we know it. But of course, wherever there are people are having a good time, there will be incidents. We'll have to increase police presence.
We'll have to increase ministry. The thing is, you are now dealing with a different scenario. You've got to modify things to suit that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you're going to have to increase a lot of things to accommodate. One of these ships, in some cases, carry up to 6,500 passengers.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine that ship pulling up to a family island. You're going to have at least 3,000 come ashore.
But how do you do it? I mean, because are you even going to be able to recruit police officers fast enough? This may actually be one of those times where you have to activate your reserve unit in a real way and let people know that, hey, you could be a reservist. You just got to go do it in Eleuthera or in Exuma and do it at 4 month period, 4 month intervals, because that is where we need the manpower now. We need it to kind of gird up this influx of people that will be in the... Because what I want people to understand is these islands have not ever had this kind of exposure to tourism.
No.
They've just not. Save for Exuma, that may through airlift have at some occasion had tourism in some great number. The rest of these islands, not so much. Even Grand Bahama. Like, you go to Grand Bahama, you don't just run into tourists, right? This is a new experience.
What helps us, though,
uh-huh.
is the fact that crime rate on the islands are very low.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not going to change overnight. Because you still have the family islanders there. You still have the people coming in to do the work. And there's no... I don't imagine where there'll be a real need for crime to increase.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people who are coming in are coming in to work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And all of these islands, having more people there doesn't necessarily mean that crime is going to increase. But again, you have more activities. You have more money being made. The country is making more money. So you may be in a position to afford more police, more defense force personnel and all the rest of that. To be in these positions to accommodate this type of thing.
The other question that comes to my mind is, say that tourism is our business, right? Tourism is the business that we've been in. I have to then argue that if 70% of the population is in Nassau, then technically 70% of the business of tourism is generated by the island of New Providence, right?
Which is true.
Are these people on the family island prepared to deal with the touristic experience? Like, it is different. The people in Nassau even talk different to the tourists, right? It is because we've been inculcated that way. I don't know if when they get on the family island, if Baladam ain't really care about these tourists. They don't really care if the tourists get lost on the beach. They may just not care, right? Do you think we are doing sufficient in our people-to-people training on the family islands ahead of onboarding?
I'll tell you one thing. You have a lot of yachts going to these family islands right now.
Okay.
And those yachts get along very well with Baladam.
Okay.
So that, I don't see that being an issue.
Okay. I just wonder, you know, these are all things that we must consider. We must consider that if we deal with this market generally in New Providence, if you start dispersing them into other quarters of the Bahamas, that, you know, you may have to go in and double down on some tourism training. You may have to go in and double down on tourism marketing, double down on the provision of culture. Because, you know, the caller suggested, I don't think we've been talking anything about what will be the entertainment, how will the entertainment look on these islands, particularly in a COVID environment.
But most of those people that will be providing the entertainment, that will be providing the actual shuffling of these tourists and tours and all that, they're going to be coming out of Nassau, and these are people who've been dealing with tourists all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that Baladam could be doing this job, you know.
Okay.
Baladam may be taking on in some capacities to do some of this work.
Right.
But these are going to be people who were doing it now for years. They're going to expand. Once they see those cruise ships going to the island, they want to go down there and make some of this money.
Right.
So they're going to extend their businesses and their people and their training, and all that will be going along with that cruise ship.
Mm. Let's laugh. Let me see if we can get squeezed.
You need another hour, another half hour at least.
Let me see if we can squeeze another call in here. 325-4259. You can give me a call. Captain Glenn Bean is my guest. Text right here says, the family islanders could also be rejecting it because for the most part, the Bahamians do not own the tourism industry. We almost always get the bad end of the stick. We're still living relatively hard, and the tourism industry is over-exploiting us. So they'd rather trade grits for goats and keep their peace of mind. What do you say to people that says that the tranquility is more important than the dollar on the family island?
I would say that if that was the case,
mm-hmm.
Nassau would not be in The people were in droves coming from the family islands when these hotels started to build.
Right.
I know some of my family, all of my family came to Nassau and worked in the tourism industry because they didn't want to cut feel and catch crab and sharp fish in the night and have to settle for just living on the family island. Not owning your own nice house. And it's so tourism, you can't replace tourism. The reason why Nassau is so flooded with people now, Bahamians from the family islands, is because of tourism.
Mm-hmm.
So do we want to get away from that? I don't know if that's a good idea.
Mm. You make a good point. Well, Cap, we're out of time. I believe that they've got to figure out a way to get people like yourself involved with the planning. And if not you, people like you, right? Because it sounded to me over the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, that we are playing a game of catch up. We're not exactly in the front of the ball on this home boarding thing. I think we're doing a good job picking the ball up out of the bush, because we figure we got a good arm. You know, we're a country with money, so if there's a problem, money will fix it, and we'll just be able to then come in with some sort of contingencies. And like you, I am fearful for what happens if there is a security breach. Because that becomes an international black eye, and there will be advisories by the U.S. Embassy. There will probably be advisories from the federal government in America, and you don't want to be crippled by fear, but you've got to ensure that you protect the eggs in the cart. And I want us to make sure that we are giving it enough thought. The last thing I could imagine is explosives getting onto one of these cruise ships by some means. The last thing that I could imagine is a tourist somehow becoming victim to something of some sort that we simply just didn't calculate.
Terrorists getting on a ship with his weapon and killing a few tourists on board the ship.
He doesn't even have to kill anybody. Imagine him holding the ship hostage.
Yeah.
That in itself is an international black eye that I think will take so much contingencies that we will be mopping up that water for a long, long, long time.
Yeah, it will have a significant impact indeed.
All right, Cap. So good to have you again.
Thank you again.
I always enjoy seeing you. You're always good conversation. Anyway, that's my time. I'm leaving. I don't hear my music. I'm leaving Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. The station for fresh news and smart talk. There it is. You know, the people tell me they like this song, right? So I kind of let it play a little bit.
Very nice. I love it.
Yeah. Don't move. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. They've got the news for you. It's next.
When the war is won, we will be sure.